Greetings. You are listening live to the Scriptures Alone Bible School here on BBS Radio. The Scriptures Alone Bible School is a Bible teaching ministry where the Scriptures alone are all authority and are taught correctly by Martin Richling. Therefore, with King James Bibles open and believing hearts, hearken now unto the words of God.
Greetings. It's February 11th, 2011. Welcome to the Scriptures Alone Bible School here live on bbsradio.com. In fact, the only place you can find the teachings of the Scriptures Alone Bible School is here exclusively on BBS Radio. And that is because if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio. So this is our home. All right, my name is Martin Richling. I will be your Bible teacher, and our website is thescripturesalonebibleschool.net. thescripturesalonebibleschool.net. I encourage you to go there and see what we're accomplishing here on BBS Radio, and indeed, it is school. So sign up, get the archives, so you don't fall behind in class. There's lessons there that are stored in their archives. You can download them, listen to them, and I cannot emphasize enough that each lesson builds one upon another. You do need to listen to the lessons in the archives. All right, it is Friday, so that means we are in all authority. Lesson number four. So get your Bibles and go to the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, now if I sound a little different tonight, it's because I am not in my normal place of broadcasting. I have hijacked some open air internet connection from my laptop to get on Wi-Fi, to get on Skype, to call in. You have no idea of the peril I am in as I stand here broadcasting in this little office. They don't even know I'm on their internet connection, but that's okay. I'm sure they won't mind. I'm really not in peril. I just thought I'd tell it to you, make it like kind of like a little mystery program today. All right, we are in all authority, and in all authority, we are gathering all the verses from Genesis to Revelation that have to do with the Word of God itself, all the testimony of what the Bible says regarding its very own self, so that you can know for sure that the book in your hands is indeed the Bible. You know what I did a lot of this week? I went on many different mainstream and some not mainstream church websites and checked out what's commonly referred to as their statement of faith or their doctrinal position. And as I looked at all of what they said regarding many things, two things I focused on. One, the first thing was be what they believed about the Bible. And every single one of them, without exception, said that they believed the Bible to be perfect and inerrant in its original writings. And you left every one of those churches' doctrinal statements with this feeling that, you know, because you don't have originals, you can't really know what God has to say to you in your language. And I'm here to tell you that is simply not true. I feel very sad for folks who think they need to have the originals, because we've seen already that originals are not the issue, as Moses broke the original Ten Commandments. So we don't have to actually get back to all of the original languages and things like that, and you have to know what God said in original languages, because quite frankly, folks, there are no original manuscripts or books of the Bible left on planet Earth. Everything that's out there and that is available is a copy. Okay? There are no originals. So when someone tells you that we need to have the originals, you just mark it down that they don't possess the originals. Okay? So that's sad, because I'm trying to show you how you can have confidence about the book you hold in your hand. I'm trying to show you how the King James Bible is indeed the written word of God by definition in the English language. Last time we left off at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's just take a quick review and we'll start there as we're gathering all the verses that have to do with the word of God itself. Again, this is lesson 4 in all authority. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's look at verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. Neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Don't add to the book, don't take away from the book. And we saw last Monday how in Proverbs 30 and in Revelation chapter 22, God gives very clear, simple, third grade English words to describe unto you, don't add to his book, don't take away from his book. And this is important for you to store up now in your mind doctrinally, because when we get to the last two studies, and I should say lessons in this study, we are going to see how that is exactly what these new versions do. They add, they take away. They add, they take away. And clearly in the Word of God, the warnings are very simple. Now in the same chapter, Deuteronomy 4, let's look at verse 5. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5. Let's gather some more evidence regarding the book in our hands. And remember, I remind you, it's a faith issue. It is completely a faith issue. But your faith needs an object, not just ignorance. You need to understand, if you do read a King James Bible, why are you reading it? And if you don't read a King James Bible, don't know anything regarding the Word of God, I'm trying to equip you with information so that you can very solidly place your faith resting assuredly, confidently, that the book you hold in your hand is indeed the words and word of God Almighty. Look at verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Notice what God says regarding his book, that not only are you to learn the scriptures, you're to keep them and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. You see, the Bible was meant to be learned and then obeyed. Too many times, Gentiles, we have a tendency as Gentiles, the Greeks seek after wisdom, Corinthians says. And Gentiles seem to get enamored with the wisdom of the book. They think that as they can learn it in their mind and spew it out of that pie hole underneath their nose, that they can appear to be all smart and intelligent. What are you doing? Listen, it isn't your intelligence. It isn't your wisdom. It isn't your knowledge. We are simply supposed to be, as believers, servants. And that you're to learn exactly what the book says and to keep it and do it and disseminate it from your mouth as obedience in your life, okay? But too many times, especially young believers, they just get wrapped up in knowing some things and they fall away from the real meaning of what you're supposed to be getting from the scriptures, which is the obedience of faith. Okay, now the same chapter, look at verse 8. Same chapter, Deuteronomy 4, look at verse 8. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. How important it is for you to learn the word of God and then to keep it so you don't forget it. You're to guard your soul diligently. None of us, myself included, is immune from, if you stop taking in this book on a daily basis, you will start to crumble, to crumble, to crumble. It will then leave your memory. Sooner or later, it just starts to vanish. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, the Lord Jesus Christ said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look at the illustration. Just as you cannot exist very long without bread and food, you cannot exist spiritually. You'll start to forget. So as you intake food on a regular basis, you need to intake the spiritual bread of life, the words of God, on a regular basis so you can live. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 5, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Again, we're just gathering all verses that have to do with the Bible itself. Look at verse 22, Deuteronomy 5, 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice. Watch it. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. Moses makes it very clear. These are the words which God spoke, and he added no more. So don't you go adding unto the book like Eve did in the garden. Remember back then? Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's look at verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Now, do you know what diligently means? We live in a society where I think that word has escaped not only the understanding of what the word means, but even its usage. Because folks sure are not diligent. Diligent is to leave no stone unturned. You're to learn every word, everything that's there. If you're to be diligent in anything in life, you're to do everything that's required of you to the smallest of details. So verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt, now watch how much you're to be involved in Bible throughout the day, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Look at that. When you're sitting in your house, when you're walking outside by the way, when you're lying down, and when you rise up, you get the impression, real simply, that in verse 7, you're to be speaking and living and understanding, talking about the Word of God all the time. That should be natural functioning of God's children. I'm talking to believers now, okay? It seems foreign to you. In fact, sad to say, it's foreign to most believers. Most believers just play church. Most believers just want to learn the Bible for whatever motive or reason they may have, and they don't live it throughout the day. When it comes time to then stand for the things they've learned and believe, they compromise. That's how most believers are. It's just the way things are. And it's sad because it ought not be that way. Now look at verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. I mean, the book is to be everywhere. You are to be consumed with the Word of God. You know, people may call you, well, you're just a radical. You know, let me tell you what. There's plenty of people out there in this world today who are radical about things they really ought not be radical about. What's so wrong about being enamored and completely consumed and addicted to the words of God Almighty? They mean something to God. They should mean something to you. He's very much consumed with his words. His words mean everything to him. Now, I want to show you something here in Deuteronomy 8. Compare this with Matthew chapter 4. Now, this is a fun one. Deuteronomy 8 and Matthew chapter 4. You know, on my website, I have something to protect you there. It's called the Heretic List. And there's just a list of some people that I've started dealing with recently who I've had recent dealings with regarding things in Scripture. And you'll see the criteria there that, you know, how people wind up being there. And it's not a joke or anything, but there's this one heretic on there. His name's Pastor Dave Wilson. And this guy, as I went and listened to him teach, I was noticing that he kept dropping words out of his preaching. He'd be sitting there reading from the King James Bible. He'd just drop some words. And this was regular. It wasn't no coincidence. It was intentional, I could tell. So after the service, I asked him, I said, I notice you keep leaving words out when you're talking. He says, yeah, that's the italicized words in the Bible. I leave them out. I said, well, what do you leave them out for? He says, because it sounds better. And I thought to myself, sounds better? Now, understand what he just said. He said it sounds better when he leaves the italicized words out, okay? In other words, he gave some human reason excuse that the italicized words are not as important as the words in regular print. Now, let me show you why that's such a lie out of the pit of hell. And he tells you something, and I'm going to show you how the Lord Jesus Christ refutes that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 1. And I say this because, listen, this stuff is important. When people talk to you about things in the Bible, these things are eternal and they're governing your thinking. They are influencing your thinking in the realm of eternal things. And when people do that, they better be influencing you in a correct way. Because if they do it in an incorrect way, your very soul is at stake. This is important. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Now watch it very carefully. This is Moses talking to Israel. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he, God, might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, if you'll notice, if you are reading a King James Bible, if not, just listen up. Where he says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, the word, right there. Do you got it? The word is in italics. And according to Pastor David Wilson, it ought not be there. So when he reads the Bible, he just leaves it out. So if he was to read the passage, it would read like this, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. He left the word out. He just would say, but by every that proceedeth out. Every what? You see, let me tell you what. You ought to be very angry when someone tries to take God's book from you. Okay? Because God gave his book in a perfect, pure form, and there it sits in your language. And you ought not be satisfied when some heretic comes along and tries to snatch those words away. Okay, because watch the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, according to this human, this so-called pastor who's governing over souls of people and leading them, remember what the scriptures say, though, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. And he sits there and says, the word should not be there because it's in italics. Well, watch the Lord Jesus Christ quote the passage when he's dealing with the devil in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. This is the Lord Jesus Christ quoting that passage. Watch what he says. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, he puts the word in there in the New Testament. So in Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ looks back there to Deuteronomy and says, yeah, the word is there. So let me tell you what. Don't even worry why the words are in italics. It means nothing. I don't care if they're written in crayon upside down. Okay? They're all there. And the translators are just honest and putting words in there as they translated from one language to another. You know that when you go from one language to another, that the translators just will put the words in there that need to be in there. That's just part of translating. But you see, they'll try to take that from you. the Lord Jesus Christ confirms here that italics and words that are italicized are just as much as part of the Word of God as any other word. I don't care what font you find the word in. And this stuff is serious, and you can tell that stuff like this angers me. Because you know what? For 30-some-odd years, I didn't have the Bible. I didn't have a Bible. And I never knew that God's perfect book existed. I had read other versions, never understood them, never could get anything out of them. But now I understand. And I've read this Bible, every word of it, several times, and I love every word. And nobody's going to come along and take one word from me. Because Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if you don't have every word that proceeds out of God's mouth for you in your language, you don't have to go back to originals or nothing like that, then you cannot live spiritually. It is that serious of an issue. And the words mean what they say. Okay? All right. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Now let's go on. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Look at verse 9. Deuteronomy 9:9. Watch this. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. Look at verse 17 in the same chapter. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and break them before your eyes. Again, as Moses again reviews in the book of Deuteronomy what he did earlier in Exodus, he is telling you that he broke the original Ten Commandments. Originals are not the issue with God. Okay? We don't have originals. Now think about how serious this is. I don't know if it's serious to you, but it should be. When you read in a church's doctrinal statement, they say the Word of God was perfect in the originals. You get this impression that because you don't have originals, that, well, we're doing the best we can with what we got. No. You know what that does? That sets up mankind to be the authority and lets you sit in judgment of this book as to choose whether or not it's correct. It doesn't work that way. This book is the authority, all authority, and you are not to stand in judgment of it. But I don't blame half of the people out there for not understanding this because of the leadership of so-called mainstream Christianity, where they would never have you be dependent upon a book. You see, let me tell you why. As those old mafia guys in Chicago used to say, if you can't understand something, a buck is involved. And this is why. If all these preachers of these huge, big mega churches got you to depend entirely upon the Word of God, as the Lord Jesus Christ says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It'll make you free, this book. And when you're free from the tyranny of man, you're going to start being able to judge and discern some of the things being told unto you. And you'll be able to stand in the truths of this book. And when it comes to giving money and tithing, you'll see that tithing, 10%, is not for today. Now, how do you think a lot of those preachers will think? If you listen to them long enough, they're just constantly just talking to you about how you need to give 10% of your income. That's not true. That is not true. We'll see when we get to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, about what God commands under grace, how believers are to give for the work of the ministry. It's totally different than the Old Testament law. So, of course, they don't want you to understand this, because then all of the donations plummet. Okay? All right. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. No, you can have what God said perfectly. Deuteronomy chapter 10, look at verse 1. At that time the Lord said unto me, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in mine hand. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount, and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they be, as the Lord commanded me. So you can see clearly that Moses simply went and made another copy, so the originals were not the issue. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, let's gather more evidence. Look at verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11, let's look at verse 18. Therefore, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them. Watch this. As the days of heaven upon the earth. That's just such a pretty phrase. The days of heaven upon the earth. But let me say something here about this passage. It was under the law that Israel, under the law, was to take the words of God and teach them to the children. And when they sat in their house, when they walked by the way, when they lied down, when they rose up, it was to be on their doorpost, upon thy, of their house, and upon thy gates. And the words were to be everywhere. And if that is how it was to be under the law, this is prior to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. If the law and words of God was to be spoken about all the time in the homes, wherever they were at, walking outside, lying down in the house, rising up, wherever they were, upon their post of their house and on their gates, how much so? You see, the law, it was commanded. But how much so after we have learned about the great love of God displayed at Calvary in the death of Jesus Christ, that shouldn't it just be the most natural thing you have to talk about? Let me let you into something very personal that I have never shared ever in the history of my teaching the Bible to anybody listening to me. Never have I said this, whether in private or in public, to anybody. Regarding this, you know the most frustrating thing to me about teaching the Bible? And I'll tell you what, it eats at my very core, is that when I teach this great book, and I love to teach it because of what it says, I'm not just teaching you some words so that you're smart. I'm teaching you about the greatest love in my life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I teach it, I'm teaching you about him. He's a real person. And when after a while folks learn the Bible and they go on and on, I start expecting them to love him too. I don't know why. Maybe it's wrong. But I just start to expect them to love him and to love his book. And then when I start to just see, you know, because I pay very close attention to how people are after words have gone into them, this great book has gone into them. And when I start to see them be kind of flippant towards it and to be kind of, you know, not really caring about the book the way it's obvious we should, which is with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, I get very, very discouraged. But you know, the only thing that ever pulls me out to keep talking is when I encourage myself in the Lord. And you know, I don't know why I even told you all that, but let me show you something. I mean, I learned it from David. If you look in 1 Samuel chapter 30, this is a little commercial break in the study, but it is important. I'm not just teaching you about this Bible so that you can walk around with all this knowledge all puffed up. No, you guys are missing the boat if that's what you think it's for. It's to teach you these great words so that forms in your mind and heart is that great Savior. He's a real person. He has feelings, just like you have feelings. And God his Father has feelings. And God the Holy Spirit has feelings. And when you don't love them the way you should by loving their words, you grieve them. It hurts their feelings. And perhaps maybe I should respond like that instead of wanting to take a 2x4 and smack you over the head. But, I would have made a great Old Testament law-keeping Jew, let me tell you. I could handle this just chopping people's heads off. But we're under grace. So, I mean, but it's something that I struggle with continuously. How I long for people to love this book the way God declares to love it. And how I long for that type of fellowship from fellow brethren who claim to be believers. I want you to be zealous and on fire for the right things. I watched the part of the Super Bowl there, and when I watched that thing, I saw all these people so zealous for their team. One thing, you know, the Apostle Paul uses illustrations of sports in his epistles and how they would run a race and how they want to be the master and only one receiveth the prize. And, you know, at least those guys there got some zeal and some 100% drive towards something, you know. Oh, well. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. If you know David up to this point in his life, boy, he was as low as it gets, except after Bathsheba and Uriah. This is prior to him being king. Verse 1, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Watch it. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He knew where to go. He knew where to get strengthened. He knew the only place of no disappointment. He knew the only place that would lift him up out of those ashes. And yeah, he went out and rescued them all and kicked those goofy heathens' butts all over the countryside. Anyways, so back to that. See, now I'm greatly encouraged because I encouraged myself in the Lord my God. All right, let's go back now to Deuteronomy and gather up some more great evidence in this great, great book of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 12. Look at verse 28, Deuteronomy 12, 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. The issue is to observe and hear all these words. Okay, look at verse 32, same chapter, chapter 12. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. It is very important that you don't add to the Bible or diminish from the Bible. That's why if you'll see in the other lessons in school, for the ones who have been diligently following that, we finished up the evil tidings in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, all the way up there. And if you've diligently hung in there with me, I didn't diminish from what was written there. I didn't add to what was written there. I showed you the entire counsel of God, the evil tidings of God against you and against you because of your transgressions of his laws. But hey, praise the Lord, on Tuesday, Lord willing, all the glad tidings begin. So it says, woo, it's going to be great from here on out. Okay? So be encouraged. You know, there, it's just like the word of God is like a two-edged sword. One side, Corinthians says, cuts unto death. The other side cuts unto life. And it's all determined on whether you believe it or not. Okay? Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Look at verse 14. Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me like as all the nations that are about me, Moses instructing Israel here what they were going to say, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, now watch the instructions that the king who would sit over Israel should do. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he, that's the king of Israel, shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. Now, excuse me, there's a lot of things there. The people of preservation in the Old Testament, the people who were assigned the preservation, the physical preserving of the Word of God, was the priest, the Levites. And the king was to go write him a copy of this law in a book. And it was to be with this king, we're going to see. But notice, the issue was not the originals. The king himself was to have a copy. So God Almighty is dealing in copies, not originals. So when you see all of these mainstream churches out there telling you that the Word of God was perfect in its originals, look, there are no originals. So don't be thinking you need to find them. There are none. Okay? Now verse 18. Now verse 19 now, and it shall be with him, this copy, and it shall be with him. That's the copy of the book, the Bible. And he shall read therein all the days of his life. Now, there is some great advice. Every time I try to remember that when the program ends, I always try to tell you your homework. What is it? I'm quoting to you Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. That is the best thing I could ever tell you. And if I would ever, you know how people always, when they die, they want to be known for something. You know, I don't want to be known for anything. But I do, if someone were to talk about, I want you to think so much that all he ever did is to say, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Get it and read it for yourself. You know, as I've met some brethren the past several months because of internet ministry, and some of them now are coming to a conclusion for the first time, reading the Word of God for the first time completely through, following God's establishment commandment. And they're so different from when I first talked to them. They understand so much now, and they're having so much joy. And the other brethren who have read it several times, they're continuing in their joy, abounding therein. I myself am so encouraged by that when I hear that. Okay, so this king is to read it. Look at verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. That's what you have the Bible for. You're to read it so you can keep it in your mind, guard it, and do it. Okay? You know, you'll be amazed that if you just simply believe the Bible and did what it said, how much and how radically your life would change. this word effectually works in those that believe it. Thessalonians says, it will have an effect upon you, but it'll be just a dead book if you just read it and don't believe it, and you just kind of say, well, that's pretty interesting. Verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. You see, right there, you know, this is so wonderful because this just dawned upon me right now in this passage. You know, I remember this guy in time past just a few months back telling me how I was not humble. I have a feeling I know who he was. He wouldn't tell me his real name. He would hide behind some. What are those little names you make up when you're online on all these different websites? You know, why can't people just go on their name? You know, when I go on these websites, I say my name is Martin Richling, you know, but they come up with the name Christus Solus. I have a feeling I know who it was. I know who you are. I think you know who I'm talking about. They tried to hide behind that and say how I wasn't humble. Humble? Why? Because I speak with some boldness and some conviction about what I believe? Let me tell you what, you read that book every day of your life, you'll never be lifted up above anybody because it keeps you in check. Okay? I think you know who I'm talking about because you're probably listening right now. I know exactly where you live, too. The amazing thing about IP address checks. Verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. What a great advice it is to read God's book every day. Look at the wonderful, absolute, perfect results you will have. Okay, now, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, look at verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, look at verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. A great prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. Notice what God says he's going to do with the raising up of his son. Like unto thee, Moses, and will put my words in his mouth. There, a prophecy from God Almighty of what he's going to do with his son, the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to put in his mouth his words. God the Father put his words in the mouth of his son, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Right there, if you're a believer, is the greatest thing you can ever do to your fellow man, is to learn this book and to tell others exactly what this book says. You are a servant as a believer. Now, if you're a believer, that means if you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in him right now, your faith is in his blood as the payment and propitiation for your sins. You're a believer. And the greatest thing you can do is to learn this book and tell that book to your fellow man. Now, you're not going to be popular. You will not receive honor from men. In fact, the opposite will be true. You will be despised by many, hated by most. Okay? It doesn't matter. None of that matters because that's how they treated the Lord Jesus Christ. So as Christ lives again through your flesh and proclaims God's words again through your flesh, as that's what you're here for as a believer, the fulfillment of his eternal purpose, the manifestation of his son's life in your carcass as you walk here dead to sin, crucified with Christ, what kind of reaction do you think the world's going to give you? I mean, think about it. Mr. or Mrs. Believer or Misbeliever, let me ask you something. They crucified your Savior when he told the truth. Do you really think that the world is going to say, oh, wow, we're so happy to hear this truth again. Welcome. Oh, man, where have you been all these years? We have missed the Bible. No, you're accounted as a sheep for the slaughter. Romans 8:36. Okay, now, When God says he's going to put in verse 18, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, that's God's words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Let me tell you what. This is not Martin Richling's opinion. I did not write this book, okay? Sometimes folks, because you know you've read the I've read the Bible a lot, and you get a little bold and have some conviction in what you say, they think, well, that's just his opinion. Oh no, it's not. Au contraire, Pierre. Let me get you straight. That's what it says. And you may not like what it says, but if you don't like what it says, God Almighty's gonna require it of you one day. Verse 20 now, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. You know, all these false preachers out there today who are speaking things that God Almighty did not even say. And here, let me give you a big hint how you can tell a big false prophet today. These goofballs on TV that sit there and say this, hey, God spoke to me today. And he would wants me to tell you this. Right there, you need to just pack your bags and run. The Bible is complete. We walk by faith, not by sight. And God Almighty is not speaking to anybody today unless you open that book and read it. God speaks today through the written Word of God completed in English today in a King James Bible. Now, he speaks in other languages too in the written Word of God for that language. But I'm only talking about the English language. All right? So if some preacher tells you God spoke to him, you know, there's no doubt that God spoke to him. Small g God, the God of this world, spoke to him as Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. And these people are sincere, these preachers. They think God, they did hear a voice. They sure did. I believe them. But it wasn't the God of heaven and earth. Because you can see what they're saying always is going to revolve back into getting what from you? Your money. Because they're so special that God spoke to them and wants you to be financially prosperous. So in order for you to financially prosper, you need to drain your bank account and bring it over here. Okay, there's a big difference between preachers on TV asking for money to prosper them owns their own selves as opposed to proper giving up believers today to support a preacher who should be supported. Very minimally, they're supposed to be supported. Okay, big difference. We'll see when we get there. So it says here in verse 20 in chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. That's how serious God was in the Old Testament about speaking his words wrongfully. See, today, he doesn't execute people. Today, he's dealing with the world in his grace, but you better believe it. You speak a word wrong today, and he's dealing in the age in which we're proclaiming the death of his great son, you have no clue of what's waiting for you. Verse 21, And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. You got it? Real simple. Okay, we're going to look at one more passage as we close out today. Get Deuteronomy chapter 25 and 1 Timothy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 25 and 1 Timothy chapter 5. Here's another one of those famous italics passages. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, look at verse 4. Okay? Deuteronomy 25, look at verse 4. Here's the quote in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out, look at this, the corn. You see that? The words the corn is in italics. So the mainstream preachers will tell you, you see, because the words are in italics, it's not really, it shouldn't be there. The translators added those words, and therefore it's really not the word of God. So they cause you to not have confidence in the book in your hand. Well, let's see that quote quoted by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse 18. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the corn is in regular, normal print, like every other word. Now what are you going to do? So according to the Apostle Paul, who simply wrote down what God the Holy Spirit would have him write down, then the corn is normal there in the New Testament as he quotes back the Old Testament. So the corn in the Old Testament is just as much the corn in the New Testament. Okay, are you getting this? As this study is, I'm trying to point out some things, and the reason why you see me get all worked up is because I'm pointing out some things to you regarding the Word of God. You have got to understand, if you don't have a source for all authority, a place that you can go to anchor your soul and not depend upon the opinions and viewpoints and so-called wisdom of man, you're doomed. You're absolutely doomed. You have no hope. You know, this great book says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? What can the righteous do? Nothing. Nothing. You cannot let the foundations be destroyed. And the foundation that you have is this book. I'm simply going through all the verses. And, you know, we've just gotten started. It's going to really start revving up again on Monday. We're going to start seeing more passages with even stronger language reflective of how God feels about his book. So you have a choice. Again, your free will becomes the issue. As we start to gather even more evidence in this great study of Genesis through Revelation regarding God's book itself, ask yourself, am I going to believe the Bible or am I going to believe man? Am I going to put my faith in what man tells me or am I going to put my faith in what God says? Now, what do you think the wise answer is? Do you really want to trust the wisdom of man? Man, who is just like us. We're all the same. We all put our pants on the same way. We're all going to die. All of our wisdom dies with us upon death. Who do you really want to trust? Isn't it wiser? Trust this great book. This flawless, perfect book. That's just exactly your flawless, perfect Savior. Well, as they say in the country, I'm betting the farm on the book. And put all your eggs in one basket. I'm asking you and begging you to plunge in wholeheartedly. To just take everything you have, everything you've ever banked on, everything you've ever trusted, every cell in your body, to place it confidently in this book. You'll never be disappointed. You will see that it is indeed the book of God. So, until then, as always, what is your homework here on the Scriptures Alone Bible School? Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and sincere love unto you all in Christ Jesus. Farewell.